your outlines. They're in your bulletin. Looks like this. For those of you who are new, these help you with fill in the blanks, and scriptures are here. They'll be up on the monitor behind me as well. So if you'll avail yourself to that, so glad that you're here with us today. This is a very important subject. It's, as I said during announcements, one of my favorite subjects. It's an eternal principle we're going to talk about today. And it's one of the most important messages that as a believer in Jesus Christ, you can sink your teeth into, and that is how to be led by the Spirit of God. I mean, I can't think of anything, hardly anything more important after you've received Jesus as your Savior and Lord to get a hold of. It's God's plan for each and every one of us here today to be led by the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's not difficult. God made it easy for us, but it takes time, and it takes learning and growing, and it takes training once we know how to do it. So here in Romans 8:14, if you look on your outline or up on the screen, it says, for as many, the Apostle Paul writing, for as many as are led, everybody say led. Notice he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now we're going to talk about two different types of spirit here this morning. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost are interchangeable, same guy, same person, different names. It's like Bill and William, okay? It's Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, same entity, all right? Not two different, same one. Then we're going to be talking, so the Holy Spirit, we're going to be talking about small s spirit. That is your human spirit, and we'll be defining that in a moment. So here in Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. As sons of God, as believers, as children of God, we have the privilege of being led by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you look in your outline, number one, fill in this blank. In fact, not only is it a privilege, it is a necessity that you be led by the Holy Spirit. But you might say, well, I haven't been doing that up till now. Well, it starts today. Today you're going to learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's in your personal life, with your family, at work, if you own a business. How wouldn't you like to know what I'm supposed to do in this situation? Because, you know, the Holy Spirit might tell you something totally different than what your head's telling you. And you know what? The Holy Spirit's always right. And I'll give you some examples of that. 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul the Apostle wrote, know ye not, he asked a question, know ye not that you, speaking to Christians in Corinth, and he's speaking to Christians in Sterling and wherever you're at, know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Don't you know this? Don't you know that you are the temple of God, the Spirit of God dwells in you? See, we see in the Old Testament, we find the presence of God dwelt in the holiest of holies. Now, if you've seen the movie The Passion of the Christ, how many of you have seen that movie, Passion of the Christ? Watch it every Easter, Good Friday time. But what you'll notice if you watch it, and when I first watched it, Terry and I, my wife and I went up to Willow Creek Church in Chicago, and Mel Gibson was there in person. I was about five rows back off to the right, and Mel Gibson was there, and some of the ladies went, oh, Mel, and I was like, come on, show the movie, you know? But they showed us, it was kind of the uncut version. Some of the special effects hadn't been added yet, but something that really jumped out to me that just really touched my heart was something that happened while Jesus was on the cross. Now, the temple was built. They had the permanent temple in Jerusalem. But before that, back in the Old Testament, they had a tabernacle that they carried around. They set up this tent. And it had the outer court, the inner court. And people could be on the outer court, but in the inner court, and as you move closer, only the priest and then the high priest could only go into the holiest of holies. And that was behind this large curtain, a veil, as it were, massive, a big, heavy curtain. And it separated people from the presence of God. Only the high priest could go in there after ceremonial washings and dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's that he had to do, and only he could go in that one time a year and meet with God on behalf of the people. But when Jesus died on the cross and he said, it is finished, the Bible says there was an earthquake. There was a great earthquake. And if you'll notice in the movie, The Passion of the Christ, you'll see inside the temple, there's the high priest Caiaphas, and you can notice he's kind of like, wow, there's an earthquake going on, and stuff's shaking and rattling, and some stones are falling. But if you'll notice behind him, the temple veil rips from top to bottom. And it says that that temple veil ripped from top to bottom. It didn't rip on its own. It was the hands of God that ripped that thing. Why? Because God's Spirit left a building made with hands, and he went out to live in temples that he created. Me and you. You. Don't you know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells inside of you? A new temple. His church. The body of Christ, which is made up of all believers in Jesus. God lives inside of each and every one of us who's received Christ. So that's in 1 Corinthians 3. Now let's jump ahead to 1 Corinthians 6. Paul asks basically the same question, but he says, what? Question mark. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And you are not your own. You see, he said, well, it's my life. You know, Billy Joel wrote the beautiful song, go ahead with your own life, leave me alone. Well, no, Billy, we're not going to leave you alone. We're not going to leave anybody alone. Why? Because your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You can't just live any which way you decide. You need to start listening to what God wants you to do in your life. And that's not me telling you what to do. It's between you and him. Because he lives inside of you. I've got enough to do without running around being everybody's Holy Spirit. I've got enough problems on my own listening to God in my own life. Now, if you need counsel or help or you want to pray, I'm here for you. I'm your pastor and I love you. But you need to listen to God. You need to learn to listen to God the other 6 days of the week when I'm not with you, when we're not here, when you're out at the job, when you're driving that truck, when you're working in that factory, when you're out in that office or whatever it is that you do, and you're at home with the kids and you're about ready to lose it, then they're done that. You need to listen to God in those times, in those situations. You are not your own because the Spirit of God lives inside of you. He dwells and lives on the inside. Now, in the Old Testament, when they were out in the desert wandering around for 40 years because they didn't listen to the Spirit of God when he said, go into the Promised Land, I've given it to you. You're well able to do it. But they listened to the spies with the evil report, and they didn't listen to the two spies, Caleb and Joshua, who said, God said it, we're well able, let's do it. No, so they wandered the wilderness for 40 years. And the Bible says that as they carry the Ark of the Covenant, you've seen the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark. Have you all, who's seen the Raiders of the Lost Ark? Okay, I love that movie. There's some biblical truth to it. They show the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God, and it had in it some different things, the Ten Commandments, Moses' staff, and the showbread, different things like that. But in the movie, you remember it melted Nazis? Which I always think is a good idea. But in that movie, there was the Ark of the Covenant. Well, the Ark of the Covenant was carried around on sticks. You couldn't touch it. If you touched it, you died. And they carried it around, and during the day, there was a pillar of cloud by day, symbolizing the presence of God, and a pillar of fire by night. Now, there was two reasons for this. One reason, it was a sign to them that God was there with them. He was there to protect them. He was there to keep them. But secondly, they're walking around in the desert during the day. How many of you know in the desert it gets hot during the day? And so that cloud served as almost like air conditioning. It was a mist, a cool mist, and it kept them refreshed. At nighttime, when they hunkered down and camped out, if you've ever been in the desert, I've been in Phoenix in February, be 70 degrees during the day and you're having a great time, but at night, yeah, wear a jacket. Why? Because it cools off. That heat rises off the desert and it gets cool. So that fire by night was what? It was their furnace. It kept them warm while they camped out. But that was the presence of God. Now today, you are the temple of God. You're the temple of God. It's not a tent. It's not a building. It's you. So what those individuals under the old covenant in the Old Testament followed outwardly, cloud day, fire by night, you now follow inwardly. You're not looking out here for what God's doing. You're listening down here. You're listening for what the Spirit of God is going to tell you to do. So number two here is number one. This is important. Number two, the number one way God leads the Christian is by the inward witness. Write that down. The number one way God leads the Christian is by the inward witness. We follow the Spirit of God by that. Romans 8:16 tells us this, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Now, bears witness. What would we compare that to today? I would compare it to if you ever had to go into a court of law and give testimony on behalf of yourself or somebody else. Now, as a pastor, I've had to do this several times for fine, well-meaning members of our church who ended up in court. And so I had to go and be a character witness. I was asked to be. I didn't have to, but I was asked to be, and I went. I remember one time years ago, I was in Lee County Court with a judge who's no longer on the bench there. He was an older judge. This is back in the 90s. I'm sure he's retired. But I went in there, and, you know, when you go into a court, they put your hand on a Bible. You swear, tell truth, hold truth, not but truth, so help you God. Yes, I do. But the Bible says not to do that. You know where it says not to swear by heaven or earth? Don't to swear by heaven or earth or anything at all like that, but let your yes be yes and your no be no. What does that mean? That means as a Christian, I don't have to swear to tell the truth. Why? Because I'm going to tell the truth. One of God's top 10 is thou shalt not lie. So I have to swear to tell the truth. I'm going to tell the truth for whether it helps me or it hurts me. I'm going to tell the truth in a court of law like that. And so I got up to testify, and the judge looked at me and he says, Reverend, I'm not going to ask you to swear, but do you solemnly affirm to me that your yes is yes and your no is no? And I went, yes, sir. He said, okay, have a seat. I was like, cool, a judge that knows the Bible. And so I got up and I bore witness to the truth. I bore witness to the facts as I knew them. Well, notice what the Bible says the Spirit of God will do. He bears witness with our spirit. The Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit who lives within you, bears witness with your spirit, your human spirit. What? You're a child of God. He tells you constantly, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. By way of example, if anybody would come up to you and to say something to you other than you're a child of God, it should not even register on your heart or mind whatsoever. Why? Because the Spirit of God has told you you're a child of God. It'd be the same as somebody coming up to me and saying, hey, Fred. And I look them in the eye, and they're looking me in the eye, and they're saying, hi, Fred. And I'm looking at them, and I would kind of do this. I'd look around. Why? Because I ain't Fred. My name is Scott Douglas Porter. What mommy and daddy named me. They got my name out of the newspaper. They're going to name me Leanne. They had a girl's name picked out for me because I already had a big brother, so I was going to be a girl. So they had Leanne picked out. God bless all the Leannes out there, but I'm glad that didn't end up being me. So I'm born, and they don't have a boy's name. So they're looking in the newspaper one day, and it said that William Scott, Illinois Attorney General, and Paul Douglas, U.S. Senator from Illinois, a Republican and a Democrat, bipartisan, were having a meeting about something. It says Scott/Douglas to meet on some issue. So they named me Scott Douglas. That's my name. It's what I've heard my whole life. Scott, 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 Scott. Fred doesn't register with me. Now every so often I hear Douglas. Like when I was getting ready to go to Game 7 of the World Series in Cleveland, the only people who knew I was going was my wife, my daughters, and my brother Sean. And I'm driving to Cleveland early that morning, Wednesday morning, I believe it was, and my phone rings. I'm in Indiana, and I hear the phone ring in my car, and I answer the phone on my hands-free device, Bluetooth, and it's my mother, Mary Lou Porter. And she said, Scott, are you going to watch Game 7 tonight at your house with your brother? And I said, no. Oh, where are you going to watch it? Cleveland. Scott Douglas, you got a ticket to that game? How much did you pay for that? And I told her, you can sell it for two or three times what's more than that. And I said, maybe four or five times, Mom. Sell that ticket. I said, I'm not selling that ticket. I'm going to the game. I've waited for it my whole life. So she pulled out the Scott Douglas. It had no effect. As I was going to Cleveland, come hell or high water, and we had a little of both during that game. But Scott Douglas registers with me. Why? That's my name. That's what I've been called my whole life. Somebody calling me Fred doesn't register. I'd look around. Just as if somebody calls you a failure should not register. Somebody calling you a failure should be the same as somebody calling you Fred. You get that? Why? Because the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. And God don't make no junk. And God has plans and purposes for your life. And so it's important to get a hold of what he has for it for us. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8:16 from the Message. God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is. He's God. And we know who we are. Father and children. See, God wants to talk to every one of his children in a real way, in a specific way. Number one, by the inward witness. Well, what's the inward witness? I've been using that term. Some people call it a gut feeling, intuition, a nudge, an inward knowing. Brother Hagin used to say it this way. You know it in your knower. I like to call it red light, green light. Did you ever play that game when you were a kid? Red light, green light. Red light, green light, you know. Well, red light, green light is if you got a green light, what's green mean? It means go. So you've got to go until you get a red, until you stop. The Spirit of God gives you that little, you know, something was telling me not to do that. Guess what that was? That was the Spirit of God. That was that inward witness. It was that little nudge. It has nothing to do with up here. See, what we do is we're getting ready to make a decision. We write down all the pros, all the cons, and then you sit and you don't know what to do because you've got equal amount of both. You know what you do? You rip that all up and toss it out and say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? Like some people I see on Facebook and different things, and they're writing about, oh, it gets cold out. I can't wait to move out of here. And your life's being led by weather. Oh, yeah, I saw that in the Bible. We're led by weather. I mean, seriously, people. We say God never talks to us. He talks to us every day. It's training yourself to learn how to listen. Someone once said, we're so busy looking for the spectacular, we miss the supernatural. We're looking for angels and visions and dreams and all this cool stuff like this. And does God do that? Sure he does. But if we're looking for all of that, we'll miss that still small voice or the nudge of the Holy Spirit when he's trying to help you in making a decision in your life. We'll miss it because we're looking for something else. God will lead us and guide us if we'll learn to become sensitive and recognize his voice. God will lead us to the high places in life. Many years ago, a minister made this statement, but I believe bears repeating today. He said this, quote, the man or woman that shuts their spirit away cripples themselves in life and becomes prey to selfish and designing people. But the individual that will learn to be led by the Spirit of God will rise to the top in life, end of quote. And you know, when I read that, I think that's where we're going. We're going to the top. That's where God wants us to be. But you realize that it's your choice. It's your choice whether you will follow the Spirit of God or whether you'll go your own willful way. If you struggle in being overcome by adversity, here's what you need to start doing. Get a hold of what the Word of God says and declare what God says he'll do for you. Stand on his promises. Speak his word, speak his promises, and soon you'll find yourself grateful for his ability at work in your life. Amen. The one who knows the past, present, and future lives in us. He knows it all. And he's made a deposit in you by putting the Holy Spirit in your heart. So you can learn to lean on him. Like we sang last week, lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. Secular song, biblical scriptural truth. You can lean on God. You can lean on your brothers and sisters in Christ as well. God has sent the Holy Spirit to come alongside you to help you. Can you imagine all that he can help us with in life? Number three, fill in these blanks. There's several of them. He's our teacher. He's our leader, our guide, one called alongside to help. This is who the Holy Spirit is. It's what the Greek word paraclete, which means comforter. Jesus said, another comforter I will send you. Talking about the Holy Spirit. I will send another comforter to you. That word comforter, paraclete, means teacher, leader, guide, one called alongside to help, an advocate, an intercessor, a strengthener, standby, and comforter. That's what the whole, that's who the Holy Spirit is. That's who he wants to be in your life, if you'll let him. You see, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's not going to kick the door in and come in and make you follow him or make you listen to him. You're a free moral agent. You have a free will. And you can choose to follow God or you can choose to do your own thing. What it comes down to is your choice. And when you listen to that inward witness, you follow that inward witness, the Holy Spirit wants to be all of these things to you. That those times when you say, I knew something wasn't right. We need to learn to follow that little nudge down on the inside of you. You know? And well, I know what some of you might be thinking. You might be thinking, well, after I've been saved for 20, 30 years, then I'll get a hold of it. No, you start getting a hold of it right now. So that in 20, 30 years, you're farther down the road than you are now. The only qualification for being led by the Spirit of God is that you've received Christ as your Savior and Lord. So whether it happens today or it happened 50 years ago, you're a candidate. You're qualified to be led by the Spirit of God. John chapter 10, Jesus said, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. Follow who? The shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd, our great shepherd. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Whose voice do they know? They know the voice of their shepherd. Jesus is our shepherd. And the Holy Spirit speaks with the voice of Jesus. We aren't going to follow a stranger. We're not going to listen. How many of you know there's lots of voices out there? The news media, culture, your friends, family members. You have all kinds of voices. Co-workers.
You know, how would you all do that?
Don't listen to this guy.
You know what? If I tell you what, I just divorced that guy.
You know, they're on their fifth spouse. You know, don't listen to that person, okay? Listen to the Holy Spirit in the inside of you. Listen to that voice. So how do we become sensitive to the voice of God? Letter A, feed, fill in this blank, feed on the Word of God. Oh, my. You've got to take God's Word. We're talking the Bible here. Because you've got to have some Word in you. You have to have a foundation, a basis to give the Holy Spirit to work with something. Because the Holy Spirit will never lead you contrary to what the Word of God says. They will be in agreement. Remember Brother Hagin telling the story. Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, was the president of the Bible school I attended at Rhema. And Brother Hagin told a story from back in the 50s or 60s. He was at a convention and there were people preaching and he was there listening. And there was a man up there preaching some off-the-wall doctrine. And Brother Hagin went up to this gentleman afterwards and said, you know, you were really teaching some far-out things there, man. And Brother Hagin had his Bible in his hand. He goes, what you're teaching, I don't see that in here. And Brother Hagin said that minister, who'd been in the ministry for a number of years, looked at him and said, what I'm teaching, you won't find what I'm teaching in that old thing, pointing to Brother Hagin's Bible. You won't find what I'm teaching in that old thing. And Brother Hagin told us young ministers, if you ever hear a person call the Bible that old thing, get away from them. Because they're going to get goofy, they're going to get weird. What am I talking about? The Holy Spirit's not going to lead you contrary to the Bible. I've had people come to me over the years and tell them, well, Spirit of God told me to divorce my spouse and marry this person. Just tell them, God told me to do it because I love this person. I don't love them anymore. Well, have they hit you? No. Are they cheating on you? No. Are they providing for you? Yes. But God told you to divorce your spouse and marry this person? Yes. I said, that's not God. That's a damnable lie. And that's what you're listening to. Because the Spirit of God will not lead you contrary to what the Bible says. You divorce your spouse and you go off with somebody else with no valid biblical reason. Now you're committing adultery. That's good preaching, Pastor Scott. Amen. Amen. We feed on the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us this. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That means entirely. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the Apostle Paul here writing to the church at Thessalonica gives us three parts to our being. I am a spirit. Now my spirit is my heart, my inner man, the innermost being. It's the real me. It's the seat of my personality. It's my spirit. I am a spirit. I am a spirit, the real me. I have a soul, kind of like the attic. My mind, will, and emotions. My intellectual and emotional qualities. My spirit and soul are both eternal. My spirit and soul, which will live forever, live in this earthly tent called a body. My body's temporal, just like yours is. If the Lord tarries, each and every one of us will die one day. And our spirit and soul will go to heaven or hell, depending on what we did with Jesus Christ. Whether we accepted him, heaven, or rejected him, hell. But your spirit and soul are eternal. Your spirit and soul live on forever. But we're to be led by our spirit because our mind, will, and emotions are like a yo-yo. They go up and down. They're all over the place. If you're led by your emotions, dear Lord, you're going to bounce all over the joint. And you're not going to ever be led by the Spirit of God. What do we have to do? We need to renew our mind to the Word of God. We used to do it this way in children's church when I was a children's pastor. We get three kids up there. We tied a rope around this kid's waist and this kid's waist. This was a spirit and this was the body. Okay? And your body still has the fleshly desires even after you receive Jesus. Your flesh, your body wants to do the fleshly things. Your spirit's now got the Holy Spirit in the inside. Your spirit wants to follow God. So guess what the deciding vote is? This isn't the Electoral College. This is popular vote. This is a democracy. It's two against one. It's three votes and two wins. So what you've done with your soulish realm, your mind, will, and emotions will determine whether you're going to follow God or you're going to stay in bed on Sunday morning. Because your flesh wants to stay in bed on Sunday morning. My flesh wanted to stay in bed this morning. And I'm the preacher. Okay? But my soulish realm's been renewed to the Word. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Greek word metamorpho, meaning metamorphosized, like a caterpillar and a butterfly. You need your mind written to Christians. You've been changed on the inside. Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. You're changed. You're new on the inside, but your mind has not yet been changed. So that's why you need a constant, careful, reverent, diligent, prayerful study of the Word to change the way you think and start thinking the way God thinks and not thinking like every other idiot out there thinks. Thank you. So if your mind, your will, your emotions have been renewed to the truth, it'll fall in with your spirit because it knows the truth. Your spirit will speak word, your mind will go, yep, that's truth, and your body will get pulled along. And in time, your body will learn to yield itself. You'll yield your flesh to God as an instrument of righteousness. Well, how do you know whether something is God? How do you know if it's just you or the devil or something else? I mean, seriously, how do you know? Well, if we're not careful, you know, we want to confirm God's voice. We want to know that something is God. But it's something that I've seen in the church world that is just so erroneous and so wrong. Case in point, real situation happened years ago. I've changed the names because I don't want to incriminate anybody. But a person came up to me and says, Pastor Scott, you know I've been dating that girl Ethel. I've never known an Ethel in my life, so we're safe. I've decided that Ethel is the girl for me. This fellow in our church told me this. I said, is that right? Ethel's the girl for you. That's right. I just know it. God showed me that Ethel's the girl. I said, well, how do you know that? How did God show you that Ethel's the girl for you? You want to marry her? She's the girl of your dreams. Yeah, absolutely. He said, well, you know, Ethel and I have a song. Now, how many of you, you're dating or you're married, you and your spouse, your girlfriend, boyfriend, you have a song? You know, there's special songs. You have that. Of course you do. But he told me the reason he knew God was calling him to marry Ethel and that she was the girl of his dreams was because they have a special song that they heard on their first date, and it's always been their song. And I was driving around town, and I heard it on one station. I changed it to another station. I heard it there. A third station, the same song came on just as I was driving by Ethel's house. And if that isn't a sign from God that Ethel's the girl for me, I don't know what it is. And I'm looking at the guy. Because you don't want to crush him. And I said, I talked to him. But you know what? I don't know what this was. It had to be God, he said. But you know what it might have been? It might have been the musical directors at those stations, that those songs were on their playlist. I bet if you went to those stations, Jesus wasn't sitting in the chair choosing the song. But the DJ or whoever it was doing that. He told me, tell me that's not God. And I looked him right in the eye and I said, that's not God. That's not it. Get this. God does not lead you. I'd write this down. God does not lead you through circumstances. Well, this happened, so I guess this is what God wants me to do. Old Testament, Gideon. You've heard of fleeces? I put out a fleece. In the Old Testament, God told Gideon to do something. I won't get into all the specifics, but he took a piece of wool and he put it out in the grass. He said, God, if you want me to do this, make the grass wet and the fleece dry. He went out, the wool dry. He went out, he picked up, it was dry, and the grass was wet. Then the next day, to test God, he said, now make the wool, the fleece wet, and the ground dry. He went out, and it was just as he asked. So he knew it was God's will. Now that was Old Testament. Are we to do that in the New Testament? No! And some of you are sitting there right now going, oh my gosh, I do that all the time. That's not New Testament. Gideon didn't have the Spirit of God living on the inside of him. Gideon and God had to work with what they had. Guess what? You have the Spirit of God inside of you. And God leads you by His Spirit and by His Word. That's how He leads you. Not by stuff that happens. God doesn't lead us by signs. Jesus said an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign in Matthew chapter 12. We seek after a sign. We see something, we think, well, this must have been God. God did this, so that must be God. So God wants me to do this because I saw this thing or this thing happened or I saw this quote on Facebook. That must be God. For example, this has happened over the years with religious people. That people will say that they saw the face of Jesus on certain things. And the media gets a hold of it, and they run wild. One guy, and you can Google all these, one guy said he saw the face of Jesus in the condensation on the passenger side window of his pickup truck. Another person saw the face of Jesus on a potato chip. Another one saw the face of Jesus and Mary on a grilled cheese sandwich. If it happens inside of a church, man, put out the bucket because people are going to come and throw money in. I've always said if we ever get the stained glass window in a certain way and the sun shines and it looks like Jesus or the Virgin Mary, we're getting it out on Facebook because we'll pay this building off. I'm being facetious. But people, they look at this stuff and people flock and they throw money at it and they think it's God. No, it's not. It's a grilled cheese sandwich. Dip it in some tomato soup and enjoy. It's always three people. It's either Jesus or Mary or Elvis. You know? That's what they're working with. And they're saying, this is a sign from God. No, it's not. Now, can God do something like that if he would want? Sure he can. He can do whatever he wants to. He's God. But Jesus is up in heaven watching this with grilled cheese sandwiches and potato chips going, oh, seriously? I mean, seriously? God will lead you by his word and by his spirit. And maybe he'll call Domino's Pizza and show up on a slice. I don't know. But the media goes crazy and religious people go crazy about it. So what do we do to hear God's voice, you might ask? And determining God's will, his plan for your life. What do you do? Those are good thoughts. Those are good questions. Does God still speak to us today? Absolutely. In John 4, Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, if God is a spirit, which is what Jesus said, and you're a spirit, That's how he speaks. He speaks to your spirit. He doesn't speak to your flesh. He doesn't speak to your mind. He speaks to your spirit. He speaks to your heart down on the inside of you, spirit to spirit. His spirit bearing witness with our spirit, as we read at the beginning. Remember what the message said, Romans 8:16. God's spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is and we know who we are, father and children. Letter B. After we've received Jesus within, we're starting to listen to the Spirit of God. And I'm going to give one more illustration before we close on that. Now we can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Letter B, receive power to be a witness by being filled with the Holy Spirit. There are two works of the Holy Spirit in our life. There's the Spirit within. That's when you receive Christ, when you become a Christian. Confess Jesus as Lord. Spirit within. And the Spirit upon. In the Old Testament, the Spirit would come upon Elijah and Samson and the men and women of old. Spirit of God would come upon them, and then it would leave. Spirit of God would come upon them, and they would do a great mighty work, and then he would leave. But the Spirit of God comes within us today when we are born again, and he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's there. He's within you. But what's the second work of grace? The baptism in the Holy Spirit. Well, in John 4:14, it talks about the first work. Jesus said, whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. A well of water, cool, refreshing. A well of water just bubbles up out of the ground. It might form a stream or a ditch, but that is the Spirit of God within. A well of water bubbling up to eternal life. Then in John chapter 7, Jesus said, he that believes on me, so those who've received Christ, those that believe on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now let me ask you, what is more powerful, a well of water bubbling up to eternal life or a river? You know where rivers go? Wherever they want to. You can build dams or dikes or levees or whatever you want to call it, out of dirt or concrete, metal, you want, whatever you call it. But there comes a time where water is so powerful and there's such force behind it, it's going to go wherever it wants to. Actually, one time down near St. Louis, the Mississippi River changed course and totally changed the outlook of the land down there, and it flowed backwards for a little while before it found its course and went a different direction. Rivers are powerful. That's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Acts 1, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. In John chapter 20, I'm skipping ahead, but John 20 is Easter Sunday evening after he's risen from the dead. And he appears to them and he breathes on them. They see him. He's the risen Christ. They believe God raised him from the dead. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. What was that? That's when they were born again. That's when they were saved. See, the disciples were never saved until after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And before that, anything that happened before that, nobody was saved yet. Why? In order to be saved, you have to believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And how can you do that unless he's done it? Got it? Good. Now you're smarter theologians than many by what you just heard right there. You have to put things into context. So they see Jesus that first Sunday evening, Easter Sunday evening. He's the risen Christ. They believe on him. Thomas later said, my Lord, my God. He confessed Jesus as Lord. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit within. Acts chapter 1, after that, he's speaking to the people he spoke to on Easter Sunday evening. He's getting ready to push the up button and get on the elevator and ascend into heaven. And he says to them, tarry, wait here in Jerusalem. Because the promise of my Father that I spoke to you about is coming. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. What's he talking about there? He's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You get filled with the Holy Ghost like they did on the day of Pentecost 10 days later. 10 days was 50 days after the resurrection. 50, Penta, day of Pentecost. Penta means 50. So on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God fell on them. They spoke in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the words to speak. And then what did they do? They went out into the streets and led 3,000 people to Christ. You shall receive power to be what? A witness. They got power, and what did they do? They went out and won 3,000 people to Christ. Hello? I mean, hello. Number four, God will lead us in all the affairs of life. So Jesus wants you to have the Spirit within, where you can receive that inward witness. You can be led by the Spirit of God. And then he wants the Spirit upon you so you can be filled with the Holy Ghost and receive the power to be a witness. God will lead us in all the affairs of life. I'm going to tell just the Volkswagen story this morning. When Terry and I were in Tulsa, we bought a Volkswagen Quantum. Worst economic decision we ever made in our married life. But we bought this. We traded in my 74 Chevy Nova for this car. And we got up here, and one day the differential emptied out into the transmission. And $2,000 later, which we didn't have $2,000, it sat for a while. So we had to have transportation, because I'm the assistant pastor here at the church. Terry's working at Rock Falls Savings and Loan. So we have to buy, for $200, a 73 Chevy station wagon. You know, one of those aircraft carriers. Lime, it's kind of that olive green. It matched our dishwasher and refrigerator at home. And it was the Brady Bunch's station wagon on steroids, but we didn't have the nice wood panels. Or Marsha or Jan or Cindy or any of those guys. We had this boat, and it was awful. It was rusted. I was embarrassed to drive this thing, but we needed a car. So we're driving this thing around, and it's just hemorrhaging brake fluid. I mean, I'd be pumping on the brakes to get it to stop. Grace is a baby in the back. I mean, I'm like, Jesus, you know, I went to Bible college. I'm serving you. Look at us. Pathetic. And one day I'm sitting out in front of our house, 608 15th Avenue here in Sterling, and I'm just overwrought with anger. I'm just angry. And so what I was in, I'm all up in my emotions. I'm not listening to the Spirit of God. Now, with my Chevy Nova, I had a Chilton book, right? We could do everything with that. I changed my own oil. Terry's dad and my dad and I, for my Chilton book, we changed the transmission. We put a new transmission in it. Bought it for $50, put a new transmission in it. Okay? I didn't have a Chilton book for this aircraft carrier I'm driving. I didn't know what to do about the brakes. I'd open it up, brake fluid's empty. I'm pumping the brakes, there's nothing. And I'm sitting in the front driver's seat, and I just quiet my mind, and I start praying in the Holy Ghost, quieting my mind, because my mind's just going nuts. And so I just pray in the Holy Ghost. And down on the inside of me, I hear this, voice of the Holy Spirit, down under the front seat, down and under, something like that, for exactly what it was now. This was 28 years ago or so. And I got out of I opened the door, and I got out and looked under the front seat. And there's brake fluid on the ground. Now, you have to understand, I am not the most mechanically inclined person in the world. I make toast. And thank God now for YouTube videos, I can fix some things. Because I watch people who know what they're doing, and I do what they do, and my wife now seeing the genius come out in me. But at this time, it's not happening. And I look under there, and I see brake fluid dripping out of the brake line. And I look at it, and I say, Terry, come on out here. And she comes out, and I have her pump on the brake, and the brake fluid just flying out of this thing. Well, it'd be easy enough just to look at it and say, well, just tighten it, and it'll be good. But it's not made like that. It's made different. And so I'm looking at it, and I'm trying to mess with it, and it's not tightening at all, and it, because it's a weird configuration on the tightener there. So I'm sitting in the road, back up against the car, just praying in the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God said, back and forth, back and forth. This way, that way. That's what he said. This way and that way. This way and that way. So I looked, and there were two like nuts, and one turned this way, and the other one turned the other way. And I turned one this way, and this one that way. This way and that way, and it totally tightened it up. I tightened it. I got two wrenches. I tightened the brake line. I got up. I filled it with brake fluid. I told Terry, pump the brake. She pumped it. Nothing came out. I went, yeah! And we drove that ugly car around until we traded it off and got a better one. What is that talking about? God wants to lead us in all the affairs of life. God will lead you when you're stupid. Aren't you glad? Because about cars, I was stupid. I needed his help. And he helped me out. Why? Because I just listened down on the inside of me. Psalm 34:7-4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Certain desires, as you pray in the Holy Ghost, as you listen to him, will bubble up on the inside of you. And you'll be able to follow those plans and purposes and see what God will do in your life. He'll give you God-given desires. I'm not talking your own just wild desires. I'm talking about God-given desires. Those things will bubble up and they'll follow you, and you can follow those things. Last one, then we're done. Number 5, in life there are good things and God things. Not all good things are God things, but all God things are good things. You get that? Just because something's good, oh, this must be God. Oh, everything just fell into place. This must be God. You're being led by circumstances. Are you following me? I hear people say this. Oh, I'm going to move. I'm going to do this. Did God tell you to do this? I remember 20-some years ago, a family left our church moving away. And you know, if you're going to move away, come on up. We'll lay hands on you, send you off with a blessing. But I'll question you on it before you go. I said, now, why are you doing this? Well, I'm going to get more money. You know what? Getting more money isn't necessarily God. God can bless you where you're at as well, but that's a whole other subject. But if all you're giving are circumstances, just because something looks like a good thing doesn't necessarily mean it's a God thing. But all God things are good things. You need to follow what the Spirit of God says to you. The Apostle Paul, it was written about by Luke, the doctor, in Acts 15. He said this, they're getting ready to make a decision. And he said, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to do this thing. It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. The Holy Ghost on the inside, it was bearing witness with their spirit. Yeah, that's the right thing to do. There were times in my life early on as a pastor, when I first became pastor of this church, this whole place was getting ready to just blow up. It was not a happy time. But there are decisions that I made. My mind wanted to do this. But down on the inside of me, when I would pray and listen to the Spirit of God, he's saying, do this. Made no sense whatsoever. But I was going to do this. And I would do it, and it looked like I was a genius. But it wasn't me. It was just obeying what the Spirit of God was telling me to do. Listening to him, he'll put you over in life. He'll put you up to the top. He'll help you to succeed. Because it is God's will for you to prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. He wants to see you be above and not beneath. He wants you to be the head and not the tail. He wants to see you put your hand to something and see it succeed as you follow the Spirit of God in your life. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for speaking to us, for meeting with us, for helping us in everything we deal with in life. In Jesus' name. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, just before Terry comes to receive offering and close up, I'd like to ask if there's anybody here. You say, Pastor Scott, I've never received